All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 132. It is a Friday afternoon in the capital city. We are only a couple of days away from the NHL trade deadline. A lot of talk about that coming up. First, we must thank our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giant, for helping make all this possible. Check them out on Twitter at Sherwood Ford and on Instagram at Sherwood Ford underscore the Giant. They've got some giant sales on new vehicles or just some maintenance packages if you need to get your whip ready for the spring. And as we do every week, we start off with our giant question of the week. Mr. Yaremchuk, what do you got for us this week?
Sure, for giant question of the week. Like you said, Mr. Bag Milk, we are days. You can count the hours until the NHL trade deadline. Give me this sure-for giant question. Give me one player you think Ken Holland will acquire before Monday's deadline.
I'll just take him off the board before we get into the real conversation. Boys, Luke Glendening. Glendening. Soon to be an Oiler.
Future Oiler Glendening.
Future Oiler coming in. It's the Jared Smithson trade of the year. So I'm going to predict he will be one. That won't be my answer, though. Dan, I'm looking at you with your headset on. What do you got?
I think that the conversation around a St. Louis Blue has got me kind of excited. I would love to see a sneaky pickup of Mike Hoffman and have him slide in on the wing with old Nugent Hopkins and see what those two can do together, because he is a guy that can shoot the puck, which is something that this team still needs to shoot more.
Looking at his contract on Puckpedia, he signed a one-year, $4 million contract. He's been paid out about $3 million of it so far. It could be possible. He's having not a great year in St. Louis by the looks of it. Not a horrible year, but not a great year.
David Perron, current leader for the St. Louis Blues right now in points.
Man, I miss DP. The Oilers really need a player like that, you know? He's like annoying, but he can also score. I actually don't mind the Mike Hoffman suggestion, Dan. I think that's at least plausible. Tyler, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think the Hoffman idea is really interesting because he's not going to go for nearly as much as a guy like Taylor Hall will. And if they're struggling to get a first for Taylor Hall, you could look at Hoffman and be like, man, if they keep half and you give him like next year's second, like maybe that's enough. And I wonder if Ken Holland will get tempted into doing that. My answer, though, I'm sticking with the bottom six centerman, but I'm not going to say Luke Glendening. I think the market's too high on him. I'm going to go with Derek Ryan out of Calgary. They're playing Calgary tomorrow. You can play that game, have him jump across the hallway either before or after, then he's good to go and there's no quarantine period needed. If Calgary keeps half the money, they can make it work. He's been on waivers once this year, so it shouldn't cost a lot to get him. I think Ken Holland is going into this deadline with the approach of, I will I will take whatever my fourth round pick can get me. And I think your fourth round pick can get you Derek Ryan.
Rick, what are you thinking?
You know what, man? I can't pull myself away. I still think, and I may be wrong for the third or fourth time now, but I still think that it's Taylor Hall. They need that scoring left winger. I get the Hoffman stuff, but from what I've heard, he's absolutely trash off the ice. He's not a very good teammate at all. Like some of the things I heard about when he left the bubble last year, with the Panthers or whatever was, you know, that's if anyone says Taylor Hall's bad in the dressing room, this is not going to be far different. I see it being Taylor.
Here's the thing I'll say about the Hoffman off ice thing is that you're not bringing him in to be a long-term fixture or a leader. You're bringing him in and just plopping him in the top six for like 2 months, right? Which is why I'm a little bit more interested.
But I see like a Taylor Hall coming in and then adding on a year or two. I still see there's going to be this whole flat cap bridge area where some of these guys are going to, you know what? Like there's no point in chasing the big dollar right now. I think this is the closest you're going to see to super teams in the NHL just for that same reason. Like why chase an extra $750,000 when you can have an actual chance to win the Stanley Cup? And like it or not, we happen to be in a pretty good position that if you gave us one or two of those value contracts, we'd be in a place to push.
Why does it sound like someone is rapper? Is someone shuffling poker chips, as Surveyor Brett likes to say? Someone's mic is clipping some.
We must all very, very still. Do not move. The wind shall blow. I'm kind of with Rick that, you know what? It would be fun to see Taylor Hall come back. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, first of all. I don't think the Oilers are going to be able to pull it off. I think it would be great. I think it'd be fun. The story would be fun. The overreactions would be fun. The people going, oh, I don't want Taylor Hall. And then he does something Taylor Hallish and they go, oh, he's okay. It would just be funny to me to have that kind of story wrap up for full circle and have both he and Larson on the same team would also be funny. But I
Holland looked at him last year at the deadline and Holland looked at him at UFA time.
Yep. Holland did.
You know, there's all sorts of little parallels there too that I just see it finally coming together now.
Boys, I think I just found a sneaky one down low on the trade board here on TSN. Another reclamation project, but one Andrew Cogliano, left wing plus center, plays that kind of game that we need in the bottom six, but he could also be a guy you could slot up further in the lineup if you needed him.
Here's where I don't love the idea of Cogliano is that he's not necessarily a big body. I know he plays like a ferocious style. I don't think he's a huge upgrade in the center ice position when it comes to winning faceoffs. And they have a lot of bottom six penalty killing wingers, right? Like is Andrew Cogliano significantly an upgrade on Josh Archibald or even Devin Shore?
I think he makes that combination even better because he's just another Archibald type of player.
Where are you going to play him, though? Are you taking Cassian out of the lineup for him?
Yes.
You're taking Zach Cassian out of the lineup for game one of the playoffs.
Is that a question? Yes. I absolutely. If I'm acquiring Andrew Cogliano, I'm removing Zach Cassian from this lineup.
That's foolish. That's a foolish decision to make. Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't think it's that out of the realm of, I think that you need to. I think we still need more center depth. Kyle Turris is not an NHLer anymore. I've really held on to the hope that he could find it, but it is not there. He is tough to watch on the ice. I think Cogliano comes in and is a better player than Turris immediately and a better player than Cassian is most nights.
Yeah,
Cassian plays a good role, but
you need Cassian to get going come playoff time or else it's just going to be a lot of trouble. Also, like Cogliano doesn't even play center anymore. He's only taken 12 draws in 36 games this year. So you're not bringing him in to replace Turris. You'd be bringing him in to replace either Chason or Cassian or Archibald. Yep. Or you're not doing that.
He's a lefty though too, right? So you're going to go on the left side.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you got an issue on the left side already with guys moving around. I don't know. Even if you jumble up positions in the bottom six, there's no room for a guy like Cogliano. It's either you get a centerman or you get an impact winger.
But
you don't
Cassian's playing on his off wing now because he's that useless.
Yeah, but the point is you paid the guy $3.2 million. You need to get him going. Like, I don't think Ken Holland's in a spot where he's like,
bring in competition. That's how
there's enough competition down there. Tyler Ennis is on the taxi squad.
That's fair.
I like, just to wrap this up, I wish, I mean, my wish for this trade deadline, and it's not going to happen, would be something that was what Ken Holland tried to do last year with Andreas Athanasiou, you know, where you could pick up a guy who isn't going to only be around for a handful of games, although Athanasiou was in the end, which was a product of COVID. But, you know, if I had my wish list, it would be, you know, I would love a guy like Ricard Raquel to come into the Oilers and provide some scoring into the top six. I would love that, though. That would add some more competition into the right side. I don't know if he plays his off wing or not, but that's the kind of player I would love for them to get, because I just don't know how much better the Oilers can be if they spend assets to acquire a rental for the bottom six. You know,
doesn't change much.
I don't think the bottom six is really that much of their problem.
So if that's not necessarily the problem, then what is the point of trying to add there? You know,
here's what I'll say is I think going out and like getting, they could use a centerman, because right now, like, we saw how depleted they played Gaetan Haas on their second line last night. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
How dare you? Gaetan Haas is excellent.
I love him. He's one of my favorite Oilers, but like, let's get real. I think bringing in a bottom six centerman could help you out. And the other thing it does, if it costs you only the fourth round pick this year, it might send a message to like Connor and Leon and Nuge and the core group, being like, listen, we believe in you guys. We're not standing still or just refusing to do anything at the deadline. Like, here's a little bit of help. I think it gives the room like a good vibe when you're willing to just say, hey, here's a little push, you guys.
Oh, I mean, I can buy that, but in that case, then is a bottom six center gonna do as much as maybe some more depth on defense?
I would argue that like what Tyler said, it signals to the top guys that it's, you know, you're making an effort, but also we do need to up our offense from the bottom six. You know, we can't count on McDavid and Leon to not get shut down by the Leafs. The Leafs have done a really good job of that this year. So you need more offense from that bottom six. You need offense from the defense as well. And I think that, to your point, Bagmilka, I think adding some more depth there would help that as well.
We've had a lot. We have more offense out of our defense than anywhere else in the league.
And that we've ever had in a long time. And that needs to continue.
You need to solidify that second line so you can split up Connor and Leon, so you can split up the other team's best defensive players to make things easier for everybody else. We need to find someone who can score on that left wing.
We absolutely do. Like, and that's even a situation where, like, Frank Saravalli was talking on the rundown about how no one is calling Ottawa on Ryan Zingle. Okay, well, if we're an hour away from the deadline and you're Ken Holland, I'm calling. I'm saying, hey, I got a fourth. Give me Zingle, bring him over here. And maybe Ottawa, with an hour to go before the deadline, says fucking better than nothing and takes
what
it.
What do you go the first time for? First?
Yeah. Fuck. Well, shit. When Columbus, that was the deadline where Jarmo Kekalainen was like, well, I might get fired if I don't win a playoff round, and just like went balls out.
2 years
so
ago,
he got traded from the Hurricanes along with the seventh round pick to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Anthony Duclair, a second and 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So Anthony Duclair in 2 second round picks. And then he just got moved from Carolina back to Ottawa for Galchenyuk and Cedric Paquette. Galchenyuk obviously got moved again from there. So
they waived him. Yeah.
Suitcases.
But like, I think like Zingle's probably the bare minimum of what I'd do in terms of acquiring a left winger. Like, I think if he's going to be worse than that, it's probably just worth giving guys like Ennis and Cahoon a rotating look and hoping one of them gets like stupid hot. But if you can't get a Zingle or better winger for a second to fourth round pick in next year's draft, which like is a very, very tough ask, then I think you just check down and get the best centerman available, give this team a little bit more depth and roll the dice. Like,
well, yeah. Going back to DeZingle, he's got 12 points so far this year between the Hurricanes and Senators. So that's, if you look at 8 goals, I mean, that can help.
And like, and even with the centerman,
a guy who can play center or left wing, you know,
Was anyone giving a standing ovation to Chiarelli when he acquired David Desharnais? Like, no. But I mean, they probably
still angry about that trade.
Okay, but they probably they probably don't beat San Jose without him.
Yeah,
he scores the one goal. I still think the team in general could have won.
Yeah, I mean, they could
have. He plays that role.
Know. But like he came, that's what I mean with a guy like Glendening, right? Like what if Luke Glendening is the guy who wins you like a couple key faceoffs
and then chips in with like, could be the answer.
He's well, it Todd depends Harvey. What the question is.
He's the Todd Harvey of our 2006 run.
There, you can't see it, but that's the guy you want right there over my
Rick is showing
shoulder.
Us a poster of Taylor Hall on his fridge.
Obviously, Taylor Hall would make an absolute, like he's having a horrible season in Buffalo. We all know that. I mean, some of the graphics that were going around last night after Devin Shore scored his fourth of the year, Jack Eichel and Taylor Hall combined for four. That's pretty fucking hilarious to me. But we know Taylor Hall is a good player. He's having a horrible season. That would be the ideal. I just can't see it.
See, and I'm willing to sacrifice that first overall because we're gonna have an opportunity to sign him for a year or two.
Well, I would rather just keep the pick and sign him anyways if you want to. Like to me, like the playoff run, I don't know, it's important, don't get me wrong, but like I'll save the first, man, and then I'll sign Taylor Hall in the offseason, and then I'll use that prospect I draft at next year's deadline to load up fucking again and go for a cup next year.
That's if we can make that. Like this draft just seems so sketchy to me this year. None of these kids are playing. It's just so weird. If you're going to give up one, this might be the one to do it.
I'm looking at this upcoming draft as like an absolute fucking roulette spin, but that doesn't mean you still can't hit.
But you know what? Toss? If you hit that number and you get that 38-1, that's all you need.
I was gonna say, can we just call it a craps toss or something? That's more speaking my language here.
The field pays, you know?
Yeah.
Field pays. Well, just around the horn really quick before we move on. We've got our wish list in a little bit, but what do you actually think is going to happen? Like if you were going to put your, to quote, risky business, your easy money bet in on the trade deadline, what are the Oilers doing on Monday? Tyler?
They're getting Derek Ryan. I think he's a good fit. I think he's available. I think he'll be cheap to get. It's a decent story bringing him back to Edmonton too.
They're getting a Derek Ryan type player. If it's not him, like, you know, whether it be that or even like some sort of depth to defenseman. I don't see anything big happening, but yeah.
Dan?
Yeah, I think it's just a small tweak here or there. Defenseman, nothing flashy. I the dream is to get a left winger, but I just don't think it happens.
Yeah, it'd be great. Like all of a sudden the deadline comes at 1 o'clock Eastern on Monday. And all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, Taylor Hall. Oh shit, Jake DeBrusk. That would be
great. I'm telling you, man, like Halsey hasn't played in like a week. Buffalo's pretty close to the border. Maybe he just drove north for a little bit. He's been hanging out in a motel, just, you know, on the other side of Niagara Falls or something like that.
just hanging out in Windsor right now.
He's in Fallsview. Yeah. Like he's just at the casino. He's like, fuck, I got to kill this quarantine.
Two Ottawa games and a Calgary game. And bang, he's here for the following Saturday game. Let's go.
You know what? I'll call Brock from Daily Faceoff and get him to take a rip around Windsor today. See if he has any Taylor Hall sightings.
Just scream Taylor out into the streets.
Okay, so I think we're all kind of on the same page. I would very much predict a Jared Smithson type scenario for the upcoming trade deadline. It's going to piss a lot of people off. Ken Holland's going to speak here while we're recording. It's about 1:23 as I look at the clock. He's going to be speaking in 10 minutes. We're going to watch and see if we can pull any quotes out of that before the end of the episode. But first, I must thank our friends at Skip the Dishes for making sure that I stay fed. Last weekend, I ordered so much Chinese food, But what I will tell you is my plan to make it through the entire weekend did not happen.
Good.
I got to Saturday and no more. Saturday breakfast, I was done. So what did I do? I went back to Skip the Dishes and I ordered myself a Donair for that night because that's what you do. Get a little bit of variety in your life for things you can't cook. Skipthedishes.ca, thousands of options, support local, tip your drivers. Make sure you are well fed this weekend. I want to touch on Taylor Hall a little bit more, just really quickly. Doug McLean, former GM Doug McLean, not exactly an Oilers insider by any means, but he did make a couple of waves this week when he suggested something he heard that the Oilers were trying to get both Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Taylor Hall for under $12 million is their goal. Obviously, I think all of us could agree that would probably be pretty fucking sweet.
Wouldn't you sacrifice your first round pick if you knew you could get that done?
No, I'd get it done in July.
But what if this is solidifies, it's guaranteed. And I understand
it's necessary.
You don't need a scoring left winger.
Well, yeah, but at that cost,
a lot, man.
That's the cost. Yeah.
At $6 million.
Think of like Dylan Holloway. Like if you dealt that at the deadline last year, then like you would have missed out on a chance to add like an incredible, close to immediate impact prospect.
But for a guy who follows a lot of minor hockey, or sorry, a lot of like junior hockey, even you're calling this draft a crapshoot.
Well, that's exactly why you want to have a later round draft pick at this point, because some guy that you've been watching and eyeing up that other teams haven't could fall to you at the 22nd spot or the 23rd spot.
And the exact opposite stuff can happen as well.
The only way I'm moving the first round pick this year is if, and Ken Holland, maybe he knows this in some way, is if he thinks he has some deals come draft day where it's like, all right, before the expansion draft, I'm moving Jones for a second round pick. I'm plucking off this guy, getting a third here. I'm multiplying that third. Like if he thinks he can multiply his assets before the draft, kind of like what he did in last year's draft, then like I'm a little bit more open to it. But the Oilers can't go into a draft and not pick until like the fourth or fifth round. Like that's just, you can't do that.
The question, I guess, would be for you, Rick. Would you rather give up a first for Taylor Hall or a second for Mike Hoffman? Or
we don't have a second.
We don't have a second.
Second next year, though.
Next year. Next year.
I'll still give it. I want someone that's going to be here for the next 2 years as well. And I think you can get Taylor Hall done. And I don't, again, from every story I've heard about Mike Hoffman, that's not a guy you want in your dressing
room. But again,
everyone shits on Hall for doing what he did. But that's just it. When you bring Taylor Hall here, I think there is an extension in there.
Taylor Hall,
even he came out yesterday or the day before that he's willing to talk extension. Like everything just keeps pushing towards, and maybe it's just, you know, wishful thinking, but everything keeps going closer and closer towards the Oilers.
I would predict that I have a better chance of going on a date with Miranda Kerr on Monday than Taylor Hall being an Edmonton Oiler.
You're going to shoot your shot though?
I'm going to try. I'll see if her DMs are open, but I'm not liking my chances, Tyler. And as much as I would love to see Tay-Tay back here, again, the story would be hilarious. The reactions would be hilarious.
Just do the Jeannie Bouchard thing where you say, if Taylor Hall gets traded to Edmonton, will you go on a date with me?
And she'd probably go, who?
Yeah.
And probably say yes, because, you know, she doesn't know.
The big problem I see it is Miranda Kerr, as far as I'm Googling right now, is married to the guy who invented Snapchat. So I don't have billions of dollars, but
he might be pretty rich, eh?
I do. But
does he have Frank?
I do have an air fryer, a handsome dog, and a couple of rings of garlic sausage in the fridge that may sweeten the deal. I don't know. We'll see.
He might have invented Snapchat, but you host a rather successful Oilers podcast.
Yes.
Number two in all of India.
That's right.
I think we actually fell out of that ranking.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I can check.
Oh, no.
Yeah, please.
Oh, people of India, get us back up to number two, please. Please. Good Lord. All right. Getting away from the trade deadline for a little bit, I do want to talk about what happened this week. Oilers wrapped up their series sweep against the Senators last night. 9 straight games. And I just want to get everybody's take on it, because I think that there's two things I think about it. One, yes, it's the Senators. I completely get why people are like, oh, it's the Senators. They're a young team rebuilding, blah, blah, blah. I get that. I get why some people would discount beating them 9 times. However, as Dave Tippett said last night in his post game, no one else did it. No one else did it. So I just want to get everybody's take on the series sweep against the Senators. Tyler, you got a take. Go on.
Yeah, like, okay, there's the people outside of Edmonton who are like, oh, it's the fucking Senators. Like, what are you going to do? Like, I saw Rod Peterson was like, the Oilers are only like, this is their record when you take out the wins against Ottawa. And I'm like, okay. I think it's right. If it was so easy, everyone would have done it. And people are acting like Oilers fans are like bragging or hanging their hat on this. There is no Oilers fan that is like, we are the best because we beat the shit out of Ottawa 9 times. No one's saying that. But yet there's like this weird outside of Edmonton conversation where they're like, oh yeah, the Oilers think they're hot shit because they beat Ottawa 9 times. No, there's no Oilers fan sitting there being like, we're going for the cup because we beat the hell out of Artem Zub and whoever else is on the Senators roster. Like, that conversation isn't happening in Edmonton. It's only happening outside of the Oilers fan base. So I just don't understand why so many people outside this market want to like discount those wins like they have something to gain for it, or like they're proving something to Oilers fans. Like, yeah, you know what? Fucking right, the Oilers beat the Senators 9 times. Those are 18 points that not every other team in the division got. There's something to be said there. Those points are valuable, but the Oilers are not cup contenders. No one's pretending they are, simply off the fact they beat Ottawa. And the people who want to discount those wins should probably just zip it for a while.
Well, that's my point too, is like, the job, if you look at it, was to get the most points out of 18 that you possibly could. They got all 18. The Senators got zero, not even a loser point. So sure, say what you want to say about the Oilers beating the Senators nine times, but then what does that mean for the other teams that did not beat them nine times? What does that say for the Flames, who had one media member say that Ottawa was the free bingo space this year, whereas they've lost to Ottawa, I believe it's five times. So somebody's got to win these games, and the Oilers did it. Other teams didn't. Dan, what's your take on sweeping the Sens?
Well, yeah, you echo everything that Tyler said about the other fan bases, but we need to prepare ourselves for the fact that when it comes down to, you know, Hart voting and the Art Ross conversation, all those things, people are going to bring this up as well. You know, it's going to be a, well, he scored this many points against the Ottawa Senators. As far as I checked, the Ottawa Senators are still an NHL team. Yes, sometimes the roster on paper doesn't look like it, but they are an NHL team, just like we were. And we were the free bingo spot for everybody else in our division for how many years. And the conversation really wasn't that big of a deal back then. You know, oh, you beat the Oilers seven times this year. Okay. No, it was never that conversation.
You're supposed to.
They hate us. Exactly. They hate us because they ain't us. We're a one-man team one night. We're a two-man team another night. And then, you know, our depth goes and scores three goals and nobody has anything else to say. So it's, they just, people just like to hate on the Oilers. It's the way it is. We have two of the best players in the world on our team. And so people are going to expect us to, you know, be the greatest team of all time, but that's not how team sports work. And we just have to learn to deal with it. And again, like I said, get prepared for people to try and discount the fact that Connor McDavid scored, you know, 17 goals against the Ottawa Senators this year. And that somehow downgrades his ability as a player.
You want a hot take? Connor McDavid could probably not play another game all season. If you took Draisaitl and McDavid out of the lineup, McDavid would still win the scoring race in the NHL. Like, Patrick Kane is 18 points back of him. That's fucked.
And he's people hate on him still.
Pardon?
Kane's third?
Kane's third. Kane has 51. Draisaitl has 61. McDavid has 69.
Nice. I just think, before I get to Rick, I also think the Ottawa Senators, like, if you watch these two games that they played against the Oilers this week specifically, that fucking team works hard, man. And you know what? They've got players like, say Stutzel was not on a dry spell right now. They've got some players that could burn you if given the chance. I think Brady Tkachuk's going to be a hell of a player. A lot better than his older brother, to be honest. And oh, yeah. I think that Ottawa's got a very bright future. And yes, it's been nice to beat them nine times this year, but I don't think that's going to be the case for very long with that team, because they've got some good players there.
Speaking of Brady Tkachuk, I don't think Leon Draisaitl is getting himself invited to any Tkachuk family barbecues. Hey, like, he loves beefing with the Tkachuk brothers.
Yeah, he's going to have the chance here in a matter of days to piss off both of them. And I love it so much. So much. Rick, wrap up the sweep against the Sens for us.
I don't know if there's much to say, but that you guys missed out on there. There's been a jealousy or an anger or whatever you want to call it since Connor got here. There's a couple teams I kind of thought they were picking better when they left Leon on the board for us. Well, hey, we are what we are. You had to win those games. They came out, they won the games. There's, you know, everybody on Ottawa is an NHL player. So you have to win. They won. Move on. There's not much you can say about it.
18 points in the bank. 18 points in the bank.
Well, and but
those
also,
the combined points for Connor and Leon in those nine games, is absolutely fucking mind blowing.
Yeah, that's
really, yeah, like, it's not, that's was exactly it.
42? That's
it's not like they're, it's not like they're soft padding their stats against the Senators. Like, they absolutely decimated them, and that's exactly what they should do. Just like when we went up against the Vegas Golden Knights during their expansion year, and they were down to their third string goalie, and we torched that guy. That's exactly what the best players in the league are supposed to do. I don't get why that's a knock against the Oilers, but it is what it is.
I just since we're talking about Connor and Leon, I think we would be remiss to go through Oilers Nation Radio without talking about Leon Draisaitl scoring from the parking lot on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We mentioned it a little bit on Real Life yesterday, but that goal by Leon Draisaitl from behind the goal line was completely obnoxious.
Not touching the goalie at all.
And how he hit net too. That wasn't a bank shot in off the goalie. It went straight into the net. I had to pull out a protractor. I was calculating the hypotenuse on what that looked like. What did you guys think? Because I've watched the highlight 50 times now, and every time I see it, it makes me laugh. Rick, what do you think about that one?
You're just speechless, man. Like, that, I think most of us have played, most of us have had a stick in our hands and taken shots, and there's nothing you can say. Like, that's just, he's one of the greatest scorers in the NHL right now. That's, they do funny things. It's like watching a guy score from a corner kick without touching anything. He's kind of bends the ball and there's somehow, and just whatever. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's fun to watch.
I like, we were talking about that again. Like, I just imagined myself playing shinny or something like that, trying to hit the net from the goal line and probably fucking putting it on my own bench. Tyler, what'd you think of Drysdale's goal?
The thing I appreciate about Leon Draisaitl, and I like taking these questions about McDavid or Draisaitl and spinning them into bigger picture things, is remember when he came into the league that first time and everyone was like, fuck, he's too slow. He doesn't skate well enough. And what did he do? He worked his bag off, became a better skater. Then it was like, is he ever like, he's just a perimeter player. He's a secondary piece. He's not like lethal. He's not elite. What did he do in that 50 goal season? He one found an area that not a lot of NHL players were going to, which was the bottom of the fucking circle. And he started working on that one timer. I think Jason Gregor has talked about how much work he put into at practice, working on his one timer, knowing that if he played with Connor, he needed to be able to shoot the fucking pill. His speed, his ability to work the puck through the neutral zone, and that shot were not aspects of his game that existed when he was coming out of junior. And he worked on them, and he really, like, natural talent is one thing, and he certainly has a lot of it. But when I think, when you look at Leon Draisaitl and even compare him a little bit to Connor McDavid, like, the areas McDavid has gotten better in, like, he's shooting the puck more, he's scoring more, but he's done that. It's decision-based. He always had the ability to do that. He just decided to shoot the fucking puck more, and it's working. Leon Draisaitl had to, like, actively work on these aspects of his game and, like, put his mind to improving more. And that's what makes him almost so likable and so easy to root for, is that he's this superstar player who, like, had to have the active mindset to turn himself into a superstar player.
It has been fun to watch Leon, right? Because if you look back, now that I'm thinking about it, since you brought it up, his rookie season obviously was very slow going.
Yeah.
You went back down to Kelowna, then he played a handful of games in Bakersfield after that, and then that was it. And then from there, it just, he turned into a freak. And over these last couple of years, he has completely reinvented himself as a goal scorer, and it's fun to watch. Like I said, I don't know if there's a better player in the league from scoring near the goal line than Draisaitl is, but it's pretty nuts to watch.
Rick, what are you waving about?
So this is off the old Twitter machine here. Nuge is not playing again tomorrow.
Oh, he's banged up. Obviously, this is not a trade deadline thing.
No, but do you think so? You saw the highlight yesterday,
he's
right?
He's concussed.
His chin goes off that dude's shoulder.
Yeah, he's concussed for sure. For sure, for sure. And well, having this, like, I think that
this week off might be a big help for us then.
Yes, exactly. Like, I think that they showed that highlight many times. Gregor tweeted it as well. You could tell he goes bell run. And if there's one game coming up against Calgary, and then a week off or whatever, it
hopes to return against the Jets next week.
Yeah. So the thing would be, like, if this was a long-term injury, the Oilers have wrapped up a playoff spot. Like, they're going to the dance. Like, Montreal almost in a sick, twisted way, like, got lucky with the Gallagher injury, because now they have more space at the deadline, right? Like, the Islanders could only acquire Kyle Palmieri because they lost Anders Lee, which is a huge loss for the season. He's not even come back for the playoffs. But, like, if Nugent Hopkins, if he was like, I'm not playing for a month, they could LTIR him and they could use that space at the deadline. And if he plans on, or if he thinks he might play Saturday against the Jets, then I think, you know, you're obviously not going to do that. But the one thing I wonder is, if Nuge is out, does this, maybe these last two games where it's Gaetan Haas centering the second line, I wonder if that changes Holland's mindset of, like, you know what, it's not always a guarantee that these guys are healthy. And if one of those big three goes down, like Nuge is right now, and yes, I still consider him a part of a big three, if one of them goes down, like, there's not really anyone just waiting in the wings to step up. Yamamoto was great on the power play, but you know what I mean. Like,
so maybe, who are you grabbing?
Maybe the
then?
Injury changes his mindset.
Where do you think it puts it then? In the terms of getting that extra centerman who can step up, or in terms of getting that better extra left winger, so that all of a sudden it's not that big of a deal? Like, you split up Connor and Leon, you still have two relatively decent. You're only worried about, you know, one left wing spot.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think maybe he doesn't even care about the position. Maybe he's just like, fuck, I really need to go get an impact top six winger, whether it's a left winger, whether it's someone who can even.
So you're talking, like a top six guy as opposed to the bottom six who can get elevated into injury relief.
Or maybe the price is a fourth round pick and a prospect for a centerman like Ryan or Glenn Denning. I don't know what the price would be, but let's just say, you know, he wanted to give up X. The ask was this other side. And then this injury, he kind of goes, fuck, you know what? It's not worth taking the risk. Like, I'll give up the whatever low tier prospect it is. Like, if I need to throw Cooper Marody in a trade, I'll fucking do it now.
Looking at a couple of quotes, Zach Lang is tweeting the Holland press conference right now. Basically says the Oilers will have to be dollar in, dollar out on any trade because of the LTIR space that they've used. Shortened quarantine period obviously changes things.
I forgot about that.
Sense. So it's now a week instead of the 2 weeks. So that obviously changes a little bit. And for the Nugent Hopkins thing, if you're listening to this right now, the Oilers are not trading Nugent Hopkins for Monday.
Oh, no.
Here's what I would say. Again, I've said it before. I love Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Everybody knows it. But if they were miles apart on a new extension, I would probably trade him before Monday, but you can't not have assets for that player, but they're not going to do it. So I still
which means they're not miles apart, and everybody who sits there and goes, what if he's asking for $13 million then? They can't afford. Well, he's not unreasonable like that. He's never shown that. He's been here the whole time. He's been humble. He's been quiet. He's been a leader. He's always followed along with everything. He does not come off as the guy who's going to want to ask for some ridiculous amount of money. This will get done.
And also, just again, for people who are saying how horrible he is this year, he's still on pace for close to 60 points, and he's not playing at his best. So maybe pump the brakes over a full season. So let's relax here a little bit on Nugent Hopkins. And last thing I want to say, there's no way that a contract extension for the place he's been a decade isn't weighing on him in the first place. Moving on. So it's going to be interesting to see Ken Holland. I think that I'm actually looking forward to the reaction to this press conference, because no matter what he said, people are going to be fucking pissed off about it. And I think that adds a interesting layer to his job, because we Oilers fans are a little bit upset. So since we were unable to get Nugent Hopkins in for the lineup tomorrow against Calgary, we might as well talk about Calgary. This will be the eighth game of the year between these two clubs. Oilers have won 5 of 7 so far. A couple of those have been handily won. They've outscored the Flames by 10 total goals on the goal differential over those 7 games. So no Nuge tomorrow. Will be interesting to see what Dave Tippett does. Does he leave Connor and Leon together and poor Gaetan Haas has to try and moonlight as the second line center? I don't know. Tyler, what do you think? Personally, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
When Nuge came out before yesterday's game, and I'm just like, Connor and Leon still together, huh? All right.
I tweeted out, I was like, that's a bold move from Tippett, and I love it. And people were like, oh yeah, it's bold until it blows up in his face and they fucking lose. And I wanted to be like, they've won 8 in a row against Ottawa. Even if they lost last night's game, like, I really wouldn't have given a shit. I didn't even bet on it, because I was like, I don't even care. Like, they can win, they can lose, it does nothing for me. And I think it's kind of just sort of a big, like, middle finger to the Senators, who've been kind of pushing them around at times and, like, been a bit of a thorn in their sides. I thought it was just like I don't give a shit if we're missing Nugent Hopkins here. I'll play Gaetan Haas in my top six and still beat you guys. I thought it was funny. I don't think Dave Tippett thinks like that, but I thought it was funny.
I too thought it was funny. Gaetan Haas, though, to his credit, had some fucking chances last night, didn't he? One where he picked it up right in the slot and walked in, tried to do a little dipsy dangle to his backhand. I made me laugh. I love Gaetan Haas. When you're lost, Gaetan Haas, go ahead.
The problem for us is not being that Gaetan Haas was up on the second line. It's that Turris was in an elevated role and was absolutely horrible. That was the issue there.
To me, the Jujar line was the second line last night.
Yeah, and 100%.
That's a problem. But at the same point, they came up with a huge goal. Devin Shore got the game winner. So you need depth goals. Sorry, go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that depth support they're getting right now, come playoff time, like, if Kara and Shore can keep playing this way in the postseason and a guy like Cassian wakes up, all of a sudden the Oilers bottom six, I'm just saying, it's not out of the picture that the bottom six could turn into a strength year if guys start playing a little bit better, or in the case of Shore and Kara, just keep playing as well as they are.
It's the middle of the lineup right now that we need the help on. The top end's fine. The bottom end, the fourth line, obviously, we've liked what they've been doing. It's the middle six right now that we need to kind of get figured out.
I called, and let's talk about that for a second, because on Real Life, I called the second line, which would have been Cahoon, Nuge, Yamamoto, the no confidence crew, because I think a lot of them, those guys just really, really need a goal. So the nice news last night is
Yam got his.
And I know it was an empty netter, but Puljujärvi also got one last night. And I think those were two guys that really, really needed a goal. And I will also welcome our listeners in since he's gone now. Tyler Yaremchuk has got a baby bladder, and he had a little has to have a little pee-pee because he's been drinking coffee throughout
the week. Too much coffee on him.
A little too much coffee. And I make it makes it interesting for you, dear listeners, to know that he was rushing us to get started on this fucking podcast when he could have taken a moment
to pee,
to dehydrate before the podcast.
Do you think he comes back with what, do you think he comes back with one of those eight beers he wants to drink?
Well, he did say he's got eight beers he wants to drink before 4 o'clock. It is now 1:45. So we are running out of time. I'm guessing, let's all weigh in on this. I'm going to guess he comes back with a beer and maybe a snack.
I'm going
like some
zero.
Kind of trail mix.
Zero. He's too much of a, he's too much of a professional. He's running.
Dan, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think he busts through that door, stumbles, falls, climbs up into the chair slowly. Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be worth it for the listeners because we'll give them the play-by-play.
Oh, absolutely, we will. I could see Tyler reappearing with a Kool-Aid jammer, maybe. Maybe something a little sugary, a little sweet before he hits the beers. I'm thinking he's going to come in with a trail mix type snack, though. So we will keep you posted whenever he comes back here.
And just as we're talking, again, we've mentioned that the Ken Holland presser is going on right now, and Zach Lang just tweeted out that Holland said the organization is very happy with the taxi squad and the depth the team has heading into the playoffs. So he thinks
which
that
screams he, for second line left winger.
Holland quote said, "I think that if anything happens between now and Monday, it is to find someone who can upgrade at a position or have an impact."
Come on, you can't tell me this is sound like Taylor Hall. This is like storybook stuff.
It would be storybook stuff for Taylor Hall, for sure, for sure. I just, again, Miranda Kerr, I'm waiting for you. I didn't invent Snapchat, but I did invent the Beatcast, and those are very similar in my opinion.
And you have a Snapchat account.
That is true. I have a Snapchat account. I will put the puppy dog filters on for you if needed.
What did he have in his hand?
Yeah, nothing. Tyler, what do you have there?
Where?
What'd you bring into the room?
What'd you grab?
My phone.
Yeah, I had nothing.
Sorry, boys.
We're all taking bets you're going to have
Rick
one of those beers.
Oh, I should have grabbed a beer, actually. But, well.
An ice-cold Nation beer.
Actually, yeah. I have some Dog Island beers in the fridge.
It does feel like a Nation beer kind of Friday, and I will be cracking one of those shortly. But first, I want to give some love to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. Maybe it's time that you shop around for some new insurance. Get a quote, maybe for your whip, maybe for your house. You combine both of them, get a little discount. That'd be nice, right, Tyler?
Yes, it would be.
Thank you. Cornerstone Ins, cornerstoneins.ca. Go check them out and shop around for your insurance. Again, Ken Holland deadline is interview is going on right now with the media. He's going to preview the trade deadline, though. With Ken Holland, he doesn't really say a whole lot despite saying a lot of words. I don't really expect a whole lot to come out of this, though. Dan is keeping us updated. He did mention the taxi squad, though, and the depth getting from the taxi squad. One guy I want to mention, Evan Bouchard, hasn't played in a minute. Hasn't played since Toronto, I believe. Do you think that there's value to Evan Bouchard being with the Oilers despite not playing games, practicing with the big squad and kind of sitting and watching? Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I might even be in the minority on this, but like Evan Bouchard apparently doesn't want to go back to Bakersfield. Ken Holland has made it clear that Evan Bouchard doesn't need to go back to Bakersfield. And it's not like this is a normal season where you can send him up and down whenever you want. If he goes down, you need to keep him down, which the quarantine rules make it difficult with prospects. Also, he played a lot of hockey this year. He played 23, 24 games over in Europe. So he got some games done in a minor league this year. He's played in 12 NHL games this year as well. So he's played 35 games since like November. I know he hasn't played a lot in the last month, but like, it's not like he's just been rotting and he's practicing against NHLers. I think that's valuable. He's working with the NHL coaching staff. Like, I don't know. I just don't think it's as big of a waste as some people think it is. Like, I think it's just not a huge deal right now.
Rick or Dan, thoughts on Bouchard?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Tyler. It's just getting overblown. I think because they have him here. I didn't know he didn't want to be down there. If he doesn't want, they probably gave him the offer, the option then. Maybe they keep somebody else around on the taxi squad. But he's obviously not quite in the top three right-handed defensemen. He's not in the in the top seven of overall defensemen. So, yeah, you can't rush him in. He's still young. You're right. He did play a lot of hockey already. There's still a lot to be learned to be practicing and living with the team like this. It's not the end of his career. And yeah, a little bit of the COVID kicks in and makes it impossible for you to, well, almost impossible to bring him up and down. So it is what it is. It sucks, but I don't think it's as big of a loss or even that big of a shade being thrown at him either.
I like to imagine Bouchard up at 6 a.m. and he's making lunches for the boys, you know? That's the crust off Yamamoto sandwich, diagonally cut, perfectly wrapped. That's what I think Bouchard's doing on his off days. Daniel, what were you going to say?
I just, selfishly, I'd like to see more Bouchard in the lineup. I just love what
he does. I thought
he'd
be in last night, to be honest.
And the poise that he has. Maybe he plays against Calgary, because Calgary is another free bingo spot on the card too. So, but yeah, I think more so selfishly for me, I like what he brings to the game and I like watching him play. But it, like Tyler mentioned,
he'll see more, a lot of games. He'll see more hockey once we get close to the playoffs and they start resting some of the guys.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
A guy like Tyson Barrie can probably use a night off. Cause I still they haven't said anything, but I'm convinced he's hurt. He's not moving right. He's not moving right. Plus, he's run into every single person.
Yeah, and everyone's like, "Oh, they just got to give him a night off. Give him a night off." Do you want, like, it'd be such a slap in the face if you're not, like, the coach has to talk to you about this. You're a veteran player. You can't just sit a guy for, you know, just because he's not playing well or something like that. Like, it's just, I know that sounds stupid and whatnot, but you have to, like, talk to the guy first. And if he doesn't want to sit, then you let him play through his injury. Even for his rough spot or whatever it is.
For me, he looks hurt to me. That's why I would think that I just don't think he's skating the same way as we're used to. Because last night there was a couple of moments when he looked kind of slow. And I'm like, Tyson Barrie is not slow. So I don't know. What do I know? I'm just obviously guessing here. We teased the Battle of Alberta tomorrow. Oilers and Flames play. Then there's a lengthy break again. We'll get to that as well. Battle of Alberta. What are you guys expecting? It got a little bit feistier in the last one. Maybe some of the blood starting to boil between these two teams, despite it being relatively quiet so far. Dan, hockey fights side of you, what are you thinking for tomorrow's Battle of Alberta?
Well, I got to give credit to Matthew Tkachuk, because for a guy that in this rivalry was basically a non-factor for the first six games of the time, he definitely got under the skin, I think, of a couple guys in the last game and did his job that he hasn't been very good at doing this year otherwise. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that the Oilers have to stay away from more often than not, just because you can't go down on the penalty kill, even though our penalty kill has been better. You can't be on the special teams all the time, as we've seen against the Toronto Maple Leafs a few times, and that's not necessarily our fault. That's the referees. But yeah, so for me, it's you just got to let the Flames do what they're going to do. They're going to take some runs at some guys because their season is over, and, you know, they've got Milan Lucic still on their team. So it's for me, it's just kind of play your game, beat them on the scoreboard, let them have the after the whistle stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Rick, here's one for you. Holland says he won't deal the 2021 first rounder for a rental, but he is open to trading it for a player with term or something like that.
Well, that's more. Come on now. That's just, you're like, where there's,
he's literally
smoke,
tweeting
there's
about Taylor Hall.
Where
so what you're
smoke,
saying is
there's
him.
Fire. Come on, let's get it done. If nothing more than just to watch everyone's reaction, I think it'd be absolutely hilarious.
The reaction would be great.
If you gave me the choice between a first for Raquel or a first for Hall, I think I'd take Raquel.
Oh, spicy.
Can you get him signed?
He's signed next year at like 3 point some. So like that cap hit next year is a dream.
That is pretty nice.
I want Ricardo Raquel
nice.
So bad.
That is
it was full credit to Oilers fans.
Very sexual, Tyler.
Full credit to Oilers fans getting excited yesterday about Taylor Hall, because the guys over at Dropping the Gloves posted had a clip about Taylor coming to Edmonton, and they were just blown away by our response and the fans' response, which is, I mean, entirely predictable to us. You're either Taylor Hall guy or you're not, and there's no in between. But yeah, they were blown away by our response.
That's
one
why
sec, guys. I gotta take off my hoodie. I'm thinking too much about Ricard Raquel.
That's why the Oilers fans are the best on earth. Here we go. Tyler popping off. Oh, I saw a little nipple there. Nice white tee here. V-neck. Tyler looking sharp. Good for you, buddy.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
You look great. So Ken Holland is open to trading that first, provided he's got a player with some term. Could be a Rickard Rakell. Could be a Taylor Hall.
Damn right. It could be Rickard Rakell.
We shall see. Miranda Kerr.
I'm uncomfortable.
Miranda Kerr bag milk on Monday as well. Let's get that done. We'll give you my Snapchat anytime you like. Okay. Battle of Alberta. I'm back to the task at hand here, boys. Let's get some keys to victory. I would love nothing more than to see the Oilers put another nail in the Flames coffin that is this season. What has to happen to make it work, Tyler?
Hot start, score on your power plays. That's kind of it. If you can put home two power play goals and you get one in the third period, you're probably beating this Flames team. They're a pretty vulnerable group. They've shown they can take trips to the box, although the Oilers probably got some help officiating-wise last game. Yeah, I just think that's kind of it right there. I think it's capitalizing your power plays and score early.
I would imagine Mike Smith gets the start, so I will add in, as I always do, it's boring, respect the blue lines. Rick, I saw you tweet respect the blue lines the other day. Shout out to you. And Mike Smith needs to be dialed in. I imagine he will be. He seems to be fired up. Those are my keys. Mr. Dan.
I say it every time we talk about it, but it's that first period. This team loves to get a goal or two in the first period, and that sets the tone for their entire game. If they don't get that goal, they tend to have to rely on Schmitty or Koskinen to kind of keep them alive in points and in bursts. And, you know, we saw it in Montreal. It didn't work. We saw it in Ottawa, and it did work. So I would like to see them get, you know, get two quick ones, one quick one on the Flames, and just kind of set the tone for the rest of the game where the Flames are just chasing the game instead of trying to muck it up and shut us down in the neutral zone.
Rick, keys to beating the Flames.
I just want to see them come out and play that tight-knit full game style, play it for 60 minutes, nothing flashy, go out there, go out shift by shift. And because we need to start looking at playoff hockey, this, you know, the barn burner 8-7 stuff has to go away now. They need to come out and show that they obviously have already, but they got to win those close ones. I want to see them come out and play a big team 60-minute game. Nothing flashy, just get the win. Let's get out of there.
60 minutes is just hugely important. Now that
we had the lead against, Montreal and couldn't hold on to it. You can't slip up right there. So you can't be doing that. 60 minutes, just go out there, play that game. We know we can do it. It's in the fucking toolbox. Let's go out and do it because we have to start getting ready for the playoffs right now.
That's what I was going to say too. That blown loss against Montreal is still so annoying to me. They had a 2-goal lead going into the third and the wheels fell off. Tomorrow's game is going to be the last one for a minute as the Canucks games are now officially postponed, right, Tyler?
Can we call it the Taylor Hall break?
Yeah.
The Miranda Kerr break kicks off on Sunday. The Canucks, obviously, they are still continuing to deal with COVID and we hope everybody's safe over there, but that did create a free week for the Oilers that was not planned. Tyler, have you heard anything through TSN or just your travels in general about maybe crowbarring a couple of games in there before they play the Jets next Saturday, the 17th?
Dave Tippett's kind of made it sound like they're going to have some time off. So I think that's probably what we're going to see here is the Oilers are going to have a bit of a break. I honestly, like, I know the TV contracts and all that make this difficult to do, but I'm just personally of the opinion that the playoffs teams are locked in. Do we really need the Vancouver Canucks to play 15 games in 30 days down the stretch or even quicker than that just to get them to 56 for the TV deal? Like, I'm a big believer that at some point here, let's just use some common sense and put money aside. You got the season in. That was important. Let's just do the points percentage thing. The Oilers don't need to have all these extra road trips. No team does.
But doesn't percentage put us in fourth?
I don't know.
Third.
I don't care.
Third right now.
Well, I think we might have a hair on Montreal.
Yeah.
I think they're 7 points back or 9 points back with four.
They
games.
Have a 5.81 points percentage. We have a 6.34.
Yeah. But what's their points and how many games behind?
They have four games in hand on us.
And how many points are we ahead?
We're 9 points ahead of them.
So, yeah, if they won them all, we'd still be 1 point up on them.
Yeah.
So looking at it tomorrow, Calgary, that's a game that was supposed to go on in May. That got shifted to tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, and the late one on Hockey Night in Canada. Then they will have 6 days off. So Nugent Hopkins is a guy, obviously, that's going to benefit having 6 days off. If he got his bell rung there against the Senators, I would imagine there's some other guys on the team that if they have some very optional skates that are just not going to be there because of being banged up. Like I think Tyson Barrie's banged up. Yamamoto was banged up a little bit before. He looked good last night, but maybe he could use some time. So do you think this is a better chance to have this days off than the last time though? Because last time the Oilers came back and they didn't really look sharp in their first game back. Do you think
they were on the road the whole time too though, right? They had to stay out there. Now they're at home. They get to hang out with Lenny and Jaffa. Like, you know, life's pretty good here.
I think that's a great point by Rick. You're at home and it's a lot easier to rest and feel good when you're spending time with your family and your dogs.
Because they lost that, do you think that's kind of why they didn't try and weasel in any games this week, given that week off still?
I don't think they
have that much
pull.
Five days, 7 days. Well, no, do you think the NHL did it? Do you think the NHLPA stepped up and said, hey, listen.
You owe them one?
Yeah, like they didn't get their five. Like, let's just leave it at this and figure it out on the back end of it.
Maybe.
It's going to be interesting because like we're obviously running out of time before the end of the season. I can't wait to see what the NHL is going to do here.
And more COVID cases can and are happening.
Sure. I mean, even just look at Toronto, William Nylander, I think he's still out.
He's out for at least a week now.
Yeah.
So COVID protocols. So you never know. It's going to be interesting. I imagine more games are going to get shuffled and moved around as we go here, but we shall see.
Just
Colorado skipped their morning skate today because somebody tested positive yesterday. Everybody's tested negative since yesterday and today, as far as I understand. But somebody, and they just said a person. So they didn't say a player or manager, anything like that. They said a person did so.
Just a note from the Holland presser. Holland did just say that there's no urgency to sign Dylan Holloway because of his broken thumb. He's probably out for another month before they have to make that decision. So he's still thinking about it, obviously, or talking about it.
No rush.
No rush on Holloway for sure. No rush on him at all. And you know what? If you're listening to this right now and you're like, Dylan Holloway should be with the Oilers. No, we shouldn't.
It was something cool. It's something flashy and it got our attention. And having this slow us down and kind of like prevent us from doing anything is probably the smartest move.
Yep, I agree. Tyler, get your buttons ready. It is time for the Deuce Vodka Hot and Cold Performers.
I'm watching golf.
Cold performer for Tyler. If you go to deucevodka.com, they have a store locator there, Liquor Connect in Alberta. You can find all the retailers that sell Deuce Vodka. And at the very top of the page, there's a very handsome picture of Brett Kissel looking off into the wilderness. He's in there in the mountains next to a lake, probably enjoying a cocktail responsibly, of course. If you have questions or concerns, you can always reach out to sales@deucevodka.com. Time for the hot and cold performers of the week. As we do every week, we start off with our veggies. And I'm going to look at Mr. Nation Dan. He's first up on my screen, your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Well, allow me to defend our fellow North Division opponents as I give my cold performer of the week to the people that are hating on the North Division. There's this brand new, just this year, obviously, hatred for the North Division, saying that any team coming out of the North Division can't compete against the Tampa Bays and the Colorado Avalanches of the world. When I look around at the other divisions and I have the ability to watch and I've had the pleasure to watch quite a few games from around the league, I don't look at any of those other divisions and say, man, that is just murder's row. Every division has three good teams in it. And then their bottom four and five teams are trash, or they're, you know, a combination there of a team that got hot at some point in the Chicago Blackhawks, or you got the Nashville Predators who had written off their season and are now coming alive. So for me, it's a funny kind of double standard that they apply to the North Division, whether it's because Canadians love the North Division. I don't know what it is, but I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people say that the North Division is a joke of a division, because I think if you think that, then you think that all the divisions are jokes of a division. Get your head straight. Watch a few more games of ours, because these teams are really good and they're good at what they do.
They got to watch their games. You're right. Because if you watch some of these teams, they have not looked fucking unbeatable.
The Colorado Avalanche have played the Minnesota Wild. Who in this on this panel had the Minnesota Wild as a top performer this year. Yet the Minnesota Wild have looked like a you know a heck of a team this year.
Florida
down the stretch.
Panthers, man.
The Florida Panthers are one of the top teams in the league right now, and they're in that division. So I just don't get the hate on the North Division. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't agree with it, and I really do believe that the team that comes out of the North Division, be it us, the Calgary – or sorry, not the Calgary Flames, be it us, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Winnipeg Jets, or the Montreal Canadiens, they're going to be competitive in those games in the semifinals and the finals. And so, yeah, haters of the North Division, you're my cold performer of the week.
Why are you the way that you are? I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
It was a five-minute cold performer.
Sorry, I know. I went long. I rambled. I ranted.
Rick, you're next up on my screen.
You have 12 seconds. Go.
Well, this is going to go back to, I think it was yesterday. This is out of baseball. This is one of the weirdest things. Like, it's just, honestly, in terms of a cold performance, this is what it was. It was the Mets in the ninth inning. Two strikes, two outs. Ball is a strike. Like, it's right down the middle. Right down the pipe, leaves the bat on his shoulders, somehow gets his lead elbow out there a bit, and makes the most minuscule contact with the ball. So the first thing the ump does is call strike. Then, of course, you know, takes a fraction of a second, go, oh, shit, that hit him too, throws him down to first. But when you watch the replay, because they had to go make sure he actually got hit, when you watch the replay, dude drops his elbow in there on purpose to get hit. So they're using the replay to find out if he got hit. But they can't use that exact same replay to decipher the fact that he put his elbow out there. I think there's still that, and there's still weird things like this in the NHL and in NFL where they can replay things, but you can't change everything you can see in that replay. It's absolutely ridiculous. I actually feel bad for some of these guys with the replay because we should never be able to tell that. Like, that's just way too fast. Our eyes can't handle it. Whatever your eye sees is what the way it should be. This frame-by-frame bullshit takes some of the fun out of the game. But, yeah, the MLB just looked really funny yesterday with this game.
Boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I've always, you know what, it's been a weird thing of mine. It's probably because I used to love Happy Gilmore as much as I did. But I've always wondered what it'd be like to get hit by a baseball that when it's just humming at you. I mean, I don't want to. It would hurt like fuck. But I would always wonder because there's a lot of guys that get beat.
That is, you want to stand in the box and content.
You want to stand in the box and see some pitches though. Like, I want to stand there and have Kate throw a strike, throw a curveball, and I want it to be a lefty. I hit left. Yep. I wanted a lefty, and he'll be like, "I promise you, don't move, don't fall back. This is not going to hit you." And he throws it and it comes in. It looks like it's going right at my head and ends up around my toes. Like, it'd be absolutely ridiculous.
Do you guys know we have a professional baseball pitcher who listens to this podcast?
No, we don't.
Yeah, man. Eric Sabrowski from, he's in the Padres organization. He listens to this podcast. He's
a lefty.
He can throw hard. So we can set this up probably in the summer.
We need this, man. I love nothing more than to, I've thought about this too, Rick. The closest I've ever come is, one time I was at a batting cage and it went up to 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I was hitting at like 60, like, okay. But then I was just like, this is no fun. I want to crank it the fuck up and see what actually happens. Oh. So I cranked it up to 100. And by the time I swung the bat, it had already hit the plate behind me and like by a bit.
I did the same thing. I got up to like 85 and I found out when I was swinging, I started my swing as I saw the ball like start coming around the top of the wheel there. It's not coming off yet. It's just starting to come up and around. And that's when you had to start your swing. It's absolutely insane how fast that fucking ball moves.
I would love nothing more than to see a fastball, a curveball, like all that, but like from the batter's box and to see what it's really like. That'd be amazing.
So are we asking to hit the ball or are we asking to be hit by the ball? Because that's how
I want to see the pitch. I want to see one down the middle. I'm sure I'll try and swing for sure. Yeah, but I want to see what it's like. I want to see the movement on the ball.
I just, to Dan's question,
I will take one in the arm too if he wants to, if that's what it takes. It's not going to feel good. Trust me, it's not going to feel good. But as payment, sure.
I've always wondered what it would be like to get hit by a ball because those guys, sometimes they just turn and take it and they're just like, you could tell they're pissed off about it. But the bigger point, I would love nothing more than stand in the box and just see it come and try to connect. There's no way I would. Like, I could just imagine the four of us swinging at a pro level curveball. It'd be fucking, there's, we'd look absurd.
If one of us fouled it off, we'd be just running the bases celebrating.
Like, I just want to get bat on ball. And I don't think I'd be able to do that.
Just get a little tap off into the foul area.
I see myself doing some weird slow pitch type batting where you start up here and you're like hacking down like an axe because the ball just dives. All right, we got off track here. Tyler, Duesbach, cold performer of the week.
My cold performer of the week is going to be the upcoming week off. We've been absolutely spoiled this season with games every second night. It's been fun to create content. It keeps you busy. There's stuff to do at night since we really can't do much else. Getting to sit down and watch Oilers games every second night has basically spoiled me, and now I'm pissed that we have an entire week off.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
My Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week to wrap this part off is the No Fun Police. We talked about a little bit earlier. Yes, the Oilers beat the Ottawa Senators. Yes, they are bad. Yes, they swept them. But you know what? Have some fucking fun, people. Good Lord. It's like if you cruise around social media, you would think some people are watching some Oilers fans are watching a team that's 10 games below 500 rather than one that's battling towards the top of the division. It's so weird. We've seen really, really bad teams as Oilers fans over the years. This isn't that. Are they perfect? No. Do they rely too much on Connor and Leon? Of course. But stop and smell the roses, man. This is a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs. And once you get there, anything can happen. So you know what? Have a little bit of fun. Enjoy your life for once. The No Fun Police, my cold performer of the week.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
What escalated quickly is our love and passion for standing in the batter's box, apparently. Yeah. This is not a hockey thing, but now that we know that there's a pro-level baseball player that listens to this, we need you. We need you to throw balls at us.
It's because we've got a week of, like, basically summer coming up. You know, our brains are going into a little bit of vacation mode.
I would also, you know what I would like to see, too? I would like to have I could throw a baseball over the skinniest part of the North Saskatchewan River.
That's exactly what I thought of.
I still maintain I can do it. I would love to stand in a field with a guy who's a pro baseball player and just chuck it towards home plate and see like how much further he can throw than me. I also think that would be fun.
Have you ever gotten into Telus Field? Have you ever been in the outfield?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
It's the biggest place in the world for when you stand out there. And you're like, this, there's nothing bigger. And you try and throw from like the track. I need like three guys to try and relay it in.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I want to stand on the track and try and gun to how many hops is it going to take me to get to home plate?
Like, there's a good chance I wouldn't be able to throw at a dude from second, let alone third.
We need to find a way to make this happen, man.
That'd be great content.
Flipping the ledger. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week. Tyler, I'm starting with you. Your Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
Masters week. I love it. This weekend, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, of course, the Sunday, all of it. It's legitimately, if I had to rank my top five favorite weeks of the year, Masters week is up there. I'm having a great time here. I've been watching the golf this whole podcast. The Masters website is unreal. You can just pick like your however many favorite golfers and it'll just show you only their shots. So you don't have to watch the rest of the nonsense.
It's like Red Zone almost.
Yeah, it is. It's just nonstop action. I love it. I love it. I love it. Masters week. Oh, second time in 6 months. We're getting it too. It is just unbelievable stuff.
I like this right here.
Mike Weir is competing for the green jacket. Yes.
I put money on him to make the cut, but I don't think he did.
Thanks. Rick, you're next up. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, if you look outside, you can tell that it's kind of dried up. Everything's sunny out there. And this is the official start to scooter season. The limes and the birds, they are out there, gentlemen. I've utilized them a couple times already. Honestly, there's nothing better. I throw the old Hunter backpack on. That's my work bag. I throw the Hunter backpack on and scoot down to work and back home again. It's a nice couple of minutes. So I gotta say, I'm very happy the scooters are back.
Cash money.
Rick, wait till I'm down in your head, buddy. We're gonna be scooting everywhere.
Oh, buddy, it's good life.
Dan, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
It's gonna go out to our goalies. Both guys have been playing really well. Schmiddy, of course, has been on hot fire since his return from the early season missing. But for me, you know, for two guys that don't get a lot of the bylines just because we have Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Norris, you know, all these guys that get the love before that, them. I've been really impressed with Mike Schmidt, but also really excited with Mikko Koskinen, who's been playing well in his spot duties that he gets. And people just need to stop hating on those guys that much and just enjoy what we have right now. And yeah, so my goalies, my hot performer of the week.
Both goalies were excellent in that Ottawa series.
That was one of Mikko's better games. That's where he never let in the next goal. Like, yep. When you look back at the end of the game and go, fuck, we need one of those not to go in. He didn't. That was the first one that I think that stood out to me this year, where he looked like he didn't let in the next goal. That was huge for us.
The two goals that he did let in, I didn't have a problem with either. Like, the one was Thomas Chabot circled the net with speed. Darnell Nurse kind of didn't have his man stick and he put it through. That happens. And then the second one, Connor Brown is fucking on fire right now and he made a perfect shot. Yeah. What are you going to do sometimes, you know? What are you going to do? Just to wrap things up, my Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week. I got two because I'm selfish. I was very, very happy to see both Puljujärvi and Yamamoto get goals last night. Both of those guys needed one. I know Puljujärvi's was an empty netter, but still counts. And
over eight and a half.
And all of us bet on the Real Life podcast yesterday that he would get a point last night. So we hit on that. I know Tyler and I both had the over 8.5 goals bet in on the season as well. Hit on that last night. Puljujärvi made me happy. And then most importantly, my Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week was me for the decision to air fry a beef and cheddar. Now, I talk a lot about Arby's beef and cheddars. If you follow me on any social media, you know this. However, last weekend was my birthday and I decided to treat myself. So I went to Arby's, ordered four. I came home and I air fried two of them. And let me tell you, Rick, the crispy bun, the crispy meat, the liquid cheese coming out the sides.
It's glorious.
Good living. That was good living. So those Arby's beef and cheddar in the air fryer, Yamamoto and Puljujärvi goals, hot performer of the week.
Damn Arby's boys, wheels up. Ski, skirt.
Amen. Amen. Any last updates from the Holland presser, Dan? Are we all wrapped up? Dan is on mute.
Stop hitting the mute button. There we go. I don't think there's anything really. It's just he's doing like a quote, like, it's poker. You're playing poker. It's the art of being a general manager at trade deadline time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Dylan Holloway was the last real quotable thing.
So nothing crazy from Ken Holland. I don't know if you expected him to say anything crazy, but he did not. It is very much in his on brand repertoire of saying a lot of words, but a whole lot of nothing. Go ahead, Dan.
Is it weird that the trade deadline is on a Monday this year? Does that seem different to me than usual?
Usually a random day of the week.
Okay. Yeah. It just seems bizarre to not be able to, you know, have your weekly day news kind of thing, but everything's weird this year. So
everything is weird. And completing the weirdness, DMX died today. Sucks. Yeah, I was a huge DMX guy in high school. And to be honest, some of the best nights of my life that I ever had at the pint were when Up In Here by DMX came on. The place goes fucking bananas. So that sucks, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's all for Oilers Nation Radio episode 132. I want to thank our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giants, Skip the Dishes, Cornerstone Insurance, and Deuce Vodka for making all of this possible. And you, the very, very attractive listeners, and you, Mr. Professional Baseball Player, that will soon be a part of all of the content we're creating in the summer. Now that we know that you're around, Tyler, what was his name again? I don't want to screw it up.
Eric Sabrowski.
Eric Sabrowski, you are our new best friend. Let's throw balls over the river. Throw baseballs at me and Rick. I'm a righty. He's a lefty. We can both stand there on either side of the plate. You know,
oh, he puts it down the middle. Oh, that'd be terrifying.
Oh, puts it down the middle. We each try to take a swing. We're probably neither of us are going to hit it.
Nope.
We'll see how it goes. All right. That is Oilers Nation Radio episode 132. Next week, we will recap all the trades from the deadline, be it Oilers or otherwise. Enjoy that. I'll have the live blog up probably around 8 or 9, mailbag as well. Enjoy the Flames game tomorrow. Risky business an hour before puck drop. Blue Jays Nation Radio twice a week now, Tyler.
Yep. Go at the end there. Of every series. We're recapping every Jays series going forward.
download and subscribe Blue Jays Nation Radio, wherever you get your podcast from as well. From all of us here, enjoy the weekend.
Shout out, Damien.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.